Thank you, kids. I'll see you in the cafe after service. Let's give all our kids a hand. Sorry, guys. Woo! Wasn't expecting that one. That was supposed to be quick and easy. Woo! Amen. How many know we got to honor our children and prepare them for where we're going? I've got a couple of minutes with you, and I want to share something with you. We've been talking in terms of seven being the number of perfect, seven being the number of perfection, seven being the purity of all numbers. It's that ideology that in 7 days God rested. On the seventh day, God went into his Sabbath. His Sabbath day was the day of his rest. The Sabbath place was not found when they reached the promised land. When God said, because I've sworn my wrath, they should not enter into my Sabbath. He wasn't speaking of the land that they were entering in. He was speaking of that seventh day that the children of Israel would not enter in, which is his peace, where he established everything and he is the king of all. It is that perfect place where we are fighting and we are striving in our faith to reach the place of perfection, that Sabbath day of the Lord. Seven is that number that God has given to us where we can rest and be pure from all sin and iniquity. And so with that understanding, we need to get a clarity of how do we arrive at that place of purity. You know, in the month of January, we've been reading the book of Daniel. And we've been sending and look for it every Wednesday. We'll send out new updates from the book of Daniel. And next month in our next book, we'll do the same thing. Here's what I want you to focus on. What happened in Daniel, there's something unique that took place in the book of Daniel that is very unique. Has anyone ever heard of the Daniel 21-day fast? Would you raise your hand if you, okay. If you ever participated in the Daniel fast, would you raise your hand, please? Okay. Now, I want to say something to you, not to make you upset, and not to ruin your idea of what a Daniel fast is. But why do we go 21 days in a Daniel fast? Why do we strive for 21 days in a Daniel fast? The key word that we want to understand today, again, is the word sanctification. Sanctification. If you have a pen or paper, you might want to write that down. That means to set aside something for God's holy use. All of us that name Jesus Christ as Lord are sanctified. In other words, there are three types of sanctifications. There's immediate, ongoing, and eternal. Can you say that with me? Immediate, ongoing, and eternal. The immediate sanctification is the moment you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that he seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians, and that you are born again. You are part of the universal body of Christ. You are set aside from the world and you now belong to God. You are sanctified initially. That's the first sanctification. The second sanctification is ongoing. That's what we experience as we mature and grow in God. We put more and more of our will aside for his will. And as we sanctify our minds, our ears, our mouths, our eyes, our hands, our feet, to where we walk, talk, the way we speak, the way we think, the more we turn over to God, the more we are sanctified ongoing. Meaning we're putting more and more aside. This is what I had in my family. And many of you have had one of these. You ever seen one of these before?
Yeah.
It's the good silverware. You know, this is the one that always sits in that drawer that only comes out on those good occasions, right? Now you might have ate it one day and you might have needed a bowl of ice cream. And that bowl of ice cream was over here. Oh, Someone turn that bass down for me. And that bowl of ice cream is over here. And then you've got these beautiful spoons. And you may have used them to eat ice cream. But they were not meant to eat ice cream out of every day. The silver was designed by an artist because they were worth a value that sometimes we don't even understand our own value. We put things in place. And when we put things, let me move this table. When we put things in the and not know its purposes, we can misuse what is valuable. And although it came in a beautiful case with an accessory, it's like there are some of us in this world that don't know that we are silverware and goldware for God, that we are used for special occasions, that God wants us to be valuable in His sight. So we hang out and nobody will tell us that we're made of silver and gold. And so we find ourselves eating cereal with our lives. We do the least of what we can do because we have yet to be sanctified. And usually that occurs when there's immaturity. See, you'll find one of your kids pull out the good silverware and use it to eat with. But when mama show up, boy, what, you done lost your mind? This is the goodwill. Put that back in there. Well, see, that's what happens. You need someone mature that is all understands the value of who you are to help you set that which is meant to be set aside. It's so good to see so many young people. You have a man and a woman. But intimacy is only met in the realm of marriage. You can't have it out here with the regular silverware. It's set aside for one place and one place only. Just because the world does it doesn't mean we have to do it. You'll never know why until you finally make the decision to do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, then you'll understand why He waited here. See, me and my wife had to wait until we were married. And now we don't get bored with each other now because we waited. And it's always a discovery process. But God wants you to know this. If you're in this building, that what you have in your members belongs in a special place. Your mind, your will, where your eyes go, where your feet walk, what your mouth says, what your ears listen to, what you put your hands to, all of that over seasons should be sanctified to the Lord. I may have run my mouth before, but I learned to sanctify it for the Lord. I may have taken my feet to places I shouldn't go. But over time and studying His word and reading it being around church people that encouraged me and kept telling me, you can do it, you can make it. I was able to sanctify where my hands went. I was able to sanctify what I turned on and what my eyes began to see because I was around sanctified people that already knew and they were already ahead of me. God put people around me that are sanctified in their soul that I don't get thrown out there and left out there where the world will misuse me. I need sanctified people that puts their hearts in the hands of the Lord. 1 Peter 3 says, sanctify the Lord always in your heart. The first place of sanctification must begin in your heart. And when you set them aside here, then you'll be able to put boundaries in your life. How do I know this? Proverbs says, he says, guard your heart with all due diligence, for out of it flows the boundaries of your life. If you sanctify him here, It's easier to say no when someone wants you to use your silverware the wrong way. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So today, I want to talk about setting more and more and more of our life aside for Him. Not get left out of the box. But we're there among believers. Ladies and gentlemen, being 7 years, God wants us pure, but He wants us in unity and together. When we read the book of Daniel, there's something that he says to us, I think, that we need to realize. But I want you to hear what he says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 first, in a New Living Translation. I want to read it to you. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 in the New Living Translation. When they have it on the screen, it says this. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift from it. Listen, you may have been in church and been on fire, may have done ministry years ago, but unless you stoke those fires, you can drift away in your faith. That means to drift is like a boat on the water where the wind blows. And when the wind blows and the storms come, because there's no one at the helm, the boat goes wherever the wind tells it to go. You need Jesus at the helm of your heart in a storm. Hello, somebody. When you're going through something, you need to hold on to the captain of your soul. You need him there because you can try to handle it on your own. But when the winds get too hard and the storm blows too much, it may fill your boat with water. And as it did in the Bible, the disciples got afraid and they said these words, Master, Master, don't you even care that we're perishing? When you don't realize who's the captain of your ship, you will find yourself drifting and complaining and saying, God doesn't care about me. But I need to encourage you, though he may be asleep on the helm of the ship, he's still in the boat. Hello, somebody. There's hope in your boat. Somebody say, they hope in the boat. Say,
there's hope
in your boat. He is the captain of your soul. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus didn't get afraid because of the wind nor the storm. He stood up in the midst of a water-filling boat, walked to the edge, right past the disciple who was complaining, and looked up at the wind that was causing the waves, and he rebuked it. And the winds ceased. Then the waves were still rocking the boat. Then he spoke to the sea, peace, be still. Man, I love how he operates. He does both the cause and the effect. He speaks to both what started it and the effects of it in your life. That's why you need a man like him at the helm of your ship. That's why you need to sanctify your heart so that he can be there to cause the effects. Cause and the effects to go away. Well, I'm coughing. Why? Because I have cancer of the lungs. Well, let the captain of your soul speak to the cancer and destroy it, and the coughing will cease. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In 7 years, we've seen him do this. But I want you to see what he says. He goes on and says this very clearly. Lest we drift away from it, for the message of God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself, and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak. And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. He gave us proof that he's the Lord of all. Sanctify him in your hearts. And what does that mean? Guys, men, women, how do you handle yourself? How much do you hold on to, but you won't let go to God? Do you find yourself fearful a lot or faithful? You can either be fearful or faithful, but you can't be both. If you're afraid, you can't have faith. When Jesus looked at those disciples that were afraid and said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" He says, "Oh, ye of little faith, why are you so fearful?" I want to show you something. When we talk about the Daniel fast, Daniel was never afraid. Daniel wanted an answer from God. Now, I want us to turn to Daniel 10, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 12. I want to show you something. When you're in the midst of a trial, you got to learn how to call on God. And when we realize what the Daniel fast is, it's 21 days of fasting. How many believe that 21 days is a symbol for what we should take and fast with, that we also should take 21 days and fast? Let me see your hands if you believe that as well. That's a symbol of how we should fast. Raise your hand if you think it is. Okay? Put your hand down. How many think it isn't? How many don't know? Okay, well, let's find out. Let's look into the word. Daniel chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "On April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great river Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen cloth with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning." He was glorious in looking at him. "His eyes flamed like the torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like the vast multitude of people." Wow, could you imagine someone talking to you like that? Jeez. 7, "Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide." In other words, the presence of the Lord popped in. "An angel of the Lord appeared. They felt it but couldn't see it." Look at verse 9. "Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of the voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground." Has anybody ever seen somebody fall out?
Yeah.
You ever see them just fall out and go right down on their face? And people say, "Man, they don't take all that. Man, they faking it. You know, people falling out. God wouldn't do that." Listen. Daniel was knocked out. Flesh on his face. Boom, pow. Why? Because you can't handle the presence of God when he show up. Man, you may think your body can, but sometimes you can't handle that power. Look at verse 10. "Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. And he says," watch this, "and the man said to me, 'Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you.' When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling." Watch this. "Then he said, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer." Daniel was fasting for 21 days. And he was waiting on an answer. Everybody say answer.
Yes.
An answer to a prayer. Why do we fast? We fast not to become more spiritual. We are fasting so that we can sanctify our hearts, our minds, our actions before God, so that we can get a prayer answered. Now, you know, here's the funny thing. The Bible talks about it took 21 days for Daniel to get an answer. Later on, you read, because the Prince of Persia, which was a demonic spirituality, was fighting the angelic angels, Gabriel and Michael, to keep his answer from him. But his answer came on the first day. Ladies and gentlemen, why are you fasting 21 days? We fast 21 days because we read the story and we don't look into it. But I'm here to tell you, he got his answer on the fasting isn't about making your body hurt. I grew up in church where they said you can't have sugar, don't have food, don't eat meat, don't drink juice. You got to make yourself suffer. Anybody ever fasted in here? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? Okay. The only thing you can actually have that has sugar in it is a mint. And we know why. Are you fasting? Oh, yeah, you're fasting. Yes. And you know it's bad when you're fasting and you get right to the end and you put them muffins in a half an hour before the fasting's over. Oh, I got 5 more minutes. 5. Woo! 5, 3. My watch is wrong. My watch. You might just give up that fasting. We're not fasting for willpower. There's an answer. Listen to me. There is a way to fast that is unlike what you think. It is, listen, let me give you an example. I want you to turn to Judges 20, 26 through 28. I want you to think in your mind, if we went to war with another nation, how long do you think we need to fast to beat that nation? If the United States had to go to war, how long do you think we should fast? Call out a number. 21 days. You already, you know you're wrong already. 7 days. 3 days. 1 day. 0 days. Nah, I'm not on your team. All right. Turn to this. Watch this. Turn to Judges 20, verse 26. Judges chapter 20. Do I have anybody up there? Judges 20, verse 26. Watch this. Then all of the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord. And what?
Fasted.
Until when?
Evening.
They also brought burnt offerings, peace offerings to the Lord. Verse 27. The Israelites went up seeking direction. Anybody need direction from the Lord?
Yes.
Seeking direction from the Lord. And those days, the Ark of the Covenant of God was in Bethel. 28. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and grandson of Aaron, was the priest. Verse 28, the Israelites asked, verse 29, should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin again, or should we stop? The Lord said, go tomorrow, and I will hand them. How long did they fast? Till lunchtime. You mean we could win a war by simply fasting to noon? See, something's got to be wrong with the way we've been taught. We've been taught you must suffer. Your body has to ache. You got to deny yourself. And though fasting is a great show of willpower, yes, it is. And it's a great way to kind of cleanse your body. Yes, it is. But if that's what you're after, that's what you'll get. But if you need an answer from the Lord, that's not the fast he's asked you for. Turn to Isaiah 58 as we get ready to pull out of here. Isaiah 58, and we're going to start at 1. I want to show you what the Lord requires from you. You know, I want you to erase what you think the 21-day Daniel fast is about. It may bother you, but check the word. It didn't take Daniel 21 days. He got it on the first one. So, Isaiah 58, verse 1. Can we all read together? Go. Verse 2.
Yet they have acted so quiet, they have gone to the temple every day and seen the light of the
Lord. Here's what God is saying to the church. Man, it gets on my nerves. They come to church and they sing the songs and they shout out to me. But they say they love the word. Look at verse 3. And they say, we have fasted before you. And they say, why aren't you impressed? I went 40 days. And I ate my finger, but it was good. I fasted 7 days because I wanted God to use me. Wait. Keep it simple. No, we're sanctifying ourselves for something. What are we sanctifying ourselves for? For an answer. We don't even use fasting the way we're supposed to. So they're coming and going, hey, you know, God, aren't you impressed? We did the 21-day Daniel fast. Bless us. Look what God said. I love God. I go back to the verse 2. Go back again. We fasted. Okay. We have been, verse 4, very hard on ourselves. God, you didn't notice? That's like the wife putting on clothes and does her hair. Y'all better notice, brothers. And he says, God says, I'll tell you why. He said, it's because you're fasting to please yourselves. What? Who would fast to please? It ain't fun. But really, people fast because it's a way to be a part of something. It's a way to, for people to say, I fasted 3 days. I'm spiritual. No. It isn't to impress me. It isn't to impress God. He fasts. This is why you can't fast 40 days. People say, hey, 40-day fast. You better not. I'd find you out in the wilderness dead on the ground. You better not. Moses, they said, well, Moses did it. Yeah, it's not that he fasted. He went on a mountain in the presence of God so much, he didn't have a need to eat for 40 days. Jesus, the Spirit of God, hit him and told him, go into the wilderness and fast for 40 days. The Son of God totally yielded. Because we can't. We try. I had a man tell me, I'm going to go to Death Valley. I'm going to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Because God told me I was going to be like the apostles. I'm going to come out with power in my hands. I said, man, don't do it, man. You got a family? No, God told me go out there. And when I come back, I'm going to have all power in my hands. I said, dude, don't do it. Dude got on a plane, went out in the middle of Death Valley, fasting on day 3. I get a call. Pastor Steve? Yeah, this is Pastor Steve. Man, I now understand the importance of water. I said, dude, I could have told you that here. Of course, he didn't make it long. He had to come on back. But what is God asking for? Let's read on. It says, it's because you're fasting to please yourself, even while you are oppressing your workers. Your fast means nothing if you don't sanctify the way you treat the people around you. Sanctify the Lord. He says, you're fasting, but you're holding back the wages of the men who work for you, and you think that I'm going to answer because you come to church, you raise your hand, you love the word, but you won't deal with that little bit of darkness that's still in your heart. I want you to be pure. I want you to get your breakthrough. I want heaven to holler at you. I want them to send Daniel and Michael and Gabriel just to get you what you want. But you can't get it by faking it on the outside. You must sanctify it on the... So ask yourself, when I fast, am I changing anything I do? When we used to fast, we would sit home all day because we're too weak. I'm at home praying. God didn't ask you to do that. He needs you strong. It don't take long to fast. But if you get the strength, you change the way you live. Watch this. Next verse. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? When you're home and you're going on a fast, why do you keep arguing with one another? When you need a breakthrough, say, no, I'm not arguing today. I'm not going to fight. I'm not getting any political discussions. This ain't about politics. This ain't about who's right, who's wrong. I need an answer. So I'm going to crush my will and do his will. When I fast, I will consciously focus on doing it his way, not my way. Do you understand, church? I want you to be full of power and Holy Ghost power. I want you to get an answer. But may I tell you the truth that will bring it to you? No more arguing when you leave church. If you want an answer from God, give up your point. Look what he says. This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. Sometimes you're wanting change, but you're complaining about the change. You can notice what's wrong, but you can't pray what's right. Fasting requires that you kill the flesh in that window of fasting so that your tongue speaks like he would have you to speak. Your mind thinks like he wants you to think. Your ears will only listen to. That means you don't get in the car with that old radio station. Turn it on. I don't care if it's country. Oh, she left me once again with the old dog. Turn it off. She left me once again. Turn it off. I got that from my wife. That my mom put in. Look at verse 5. We're almost done. Here's what he says. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance. I'm going to pray. I got a set time. I pray. But when was the last time you really stopped going? Like, if you've ever been in worship, it is easy for a worship person to just get up here and sing. Yes. But not sing to the Lord. Yes. And everybody out here feels it. They go, man, something ain't right. Because if it ain't from here, it's not coming from here. Watch what he says. He says, you go back to the last verse, 4. You, by going through the motions of penance, bowing, watch this, your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap, the rough stuff. You cover yourselves in ashes. I'm fasting. Everybody look at me. I'm not happy. I'm doing it for the Lord. I need an answer. Don't I look like one who needs an answer? Yeah. This is God. Is this what you call fasting? God is like, for real? Look, next verse. Do you really think this will please the Lord? And then he gives us the beautiful answer. He says, no, this ain't the kind of fasting I want. He says, you want to know what I want? Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. When you start your fast, stand up for the people who've been oppressed. Do you understand? It ain't about closing yourself off in your house. It's about the things that you've ignored go on. Speak up and stand up for what is right. He is after those who are oppressed. Stand up, speak up. Don't just hold your, well, I'm a Christian. It's my opinion. It's, you know, I don't share. You better stop that foolishness. Light is to be seen in darkness, not just heard. It's to be seen. That's why light, watch this, you can't hear. Because he puts the emphasis on what you do. You've got to understand, we've got to stand up for what's wrong, what's right in our community. Look what he goes on and says. Lighten the burden of those who are in prison. Watch this. There are people that are in prison we have never gone to see. Family members. On your fast day, take off and go see somebody in prison. I'm telling you how this works. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Instead of putting more on them so it's easier on you, you go down there and be a servant to your coworkers. Hey, let me help you today. Let me be this for you. Boss, don't even worry about it. I'll take care of it. Begin to do things. Don't tell them what you're doing. But because you're saying to yourself, I'm going to bless them. God, hear me. God, answer me. God, I'm doing exactly what you told me to do. I'm going to do it your way. So God, I need an answer. I'm going to help the oppressed. I'm going to go feed the homeless. I'm going to go out here and do something for my neighbor that I know they've been needing for a long time. I'm going to do it, God, because I need you. I need you to answer me. And all the while, you're just smiling and not saying a word. Look at the next one. Look what he says. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Speak up to the things that you see, drugs and things that bring addictions to other people. Doing bad practices getting money that they don't need. Speak up. Be light in your community. Be light in your house. Don't turn your eye when you see your child flip off their iPad when you walk by, only to bind themselves when they get into teenage years. Stop allowing them to play all day, because when you get to the age of 18, you can't do that no more. Prepare your children for the next generation. Look at this. Share your food with the hungry. In other words, when you don't eat that day, go pay for somebody else's lunch. And give shelter to the homeless. Find somebody that doesn't have a place to stay. Put them up. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives. Hey, Pastor Steve. Oh, God, he got me. He must have changed his number. Oh. No. go out of your way. Because there's some relatives that need your help.
Amen.
Watch this. Let me tell you what happens next. Verse 8. Here's what will happen if you do this. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Do you understand what that's saying? He will not only answer you, but he will send you in the right direction from above and forward and back behind you. You won't have to fear about looking behind because he's got your back. Look at the next verse 9. Then, watch this. Read with me. Then, when you, the
Lord will answer, yes, I hear.
Stop right there. Now the Lord knows some of us too. He has some of our numbers. Oh, they calling again. But they ain't living right. They keep calling me. The day you take him seriously and you fast for an answer. Oh, that's Steve. When you call, hello, I'm here. Hello, I'm here. Imagine hearing God say that to you when you pray.
Amen.
Could you imagine that? Hey, you just pick up the phone. Hey, I'm here. What you need? I need God to speak to me like that.
Amen.
But I got to fast the right way. It's a heart matter. Next verse, and we're almost done. It's it. Quick reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Some of y'all can't help but talk about other people. Stop it. Can we all say that together? Stop it. Say it like you mean it. Stop it. Someone's talking about you right now. Tell them.
Stop it.
No, no, no. Y'all act like y'all scared. Some of y'all may be doing the talking. I don't know. Look at your neighbor and say, stop it.
Stop it.
Turn the other side and say, I said stop it. You ain't got time to point at nobody else. You need too much help yourself.
Amen.
Let your when we go before God to get an answer, we're not looking at other people. We're looking at ourselves. And stop spreading vicious rumors. God's honest truth. My secretary was in here last week. And you know what she said? My secretary always there to help me. And she's like a daughter to me. Someone came to her and said, you know what they say about pastor secretaries? What? Why would you fix your teeth to say that? No. Stop spreading rumors. That doesn't hurt anybody but you. Because you got to repent. Verse 10. That was right on time, whatever that was. Playboy, you were in the spirit. Damn, play. I was like, what is that? The Lord is in the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Feed the hungry. Help Playboy play. Help those in trouble.
Amen.
Then your light will shine out of darkness.
Amen.
And the darkness around you will be bright as noon.
Amen.
The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities, and then you will be known as a rebuilder of the walls and a restorer of the homes.
Yeah.
Can we stand to our feet, please? As we speak about purity, the purity we're referring to, if you do a fast, listen, don't hurt your body. Be definitive. You gonna give up meat for an evening? Do so. But when you do it, give out your life to others. Be loving. Completely empty your will and do what he would do. And then watch how he will answer. If this group of people here would just hear my words, you will learn why some preachers may be heavyweight lovers. You know what I'm saying? We're just big guys. Because we don't have to fast all the time. We learned his ways. It don't take long. But if my heart's right, it'll come quickly. Amen. Let us all pray that God will purify all of our hearts. Lift your hands before him, please. Father, on our seventh year, we celebrate you. May this church be set aside, sanctified, to be a body of believers that will help the oppressed, feed the hungry, not stand for rumors or gossip. Be a people who will fight against evil in all of its forms. That will use our eyes not for lust, but for life. That we might be good men, good women, good fathers, good mothers, good examples in this earth. Let it start among us. God, we are frontier, but we are your people called by your name. So let your kingdom as established here become light like you. We'll give you all the honor for the next 7 years. Hallelujah. Man, I feel somebody is serious in here. God, purify our hearts that we don't miss our destiny. You'll be behind us, pushing us forward, and in front of us, knocking down walls. Let us do your will. And Lord, use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God a great hand clap of praise.